Welcome, my friends, to Little Cabin Knits. I'm your host, Emily, and you can find me on the interwebs as Anders Mill Knits, or on YouTube as Little Cabin Knits, or you can email me at Anders... That's my other email address. littlecabinknitsak@gmail.com. Today, my friends, is our last self-care challenge prompt. And it's one that's dear to my heart. It's all about smiles and the science behind smiling. So today, for our Spreading Kindness episode, let's smile at everyone. Before I begin, I just want to thank you for coming on this journey with me. I have had so much fun. This was a big challenge for me, recording every day, coming up with... Well, I was already doing this part. You guys may remember, I mentioned this at the beginning of this journey, that the reason why I decided to share this with you is that for my work, last December, I did a daily self-care challenge for my coworkers, in which every day of December, I included a prompt like what you guys have received here, only in email form for them. So, I was noticing people were feeling a little burnt out, and as the halfway mark of 2021 was approaching, I decided that I would do it again for June. And now, my coworkers are like, oh, we can't wait until December now, because you're going to do it again. So, I'm probably going to make this now a tradition to do it twice yearly, which... you know, it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of time, and a lot of research, a lot of writing skills, and I've seen my writing skills thrive or dive throughout the days, as some days I'm tired, and some days I'm really energized by the topic, but overall, I've just really enjoyed this experience, and it's really stretched my thoughts around what I personally do for personal self-care. You may notice that throughout this month, most of the things that I have suggested, I have said that I do them too, in some capacity or other. And that was very important to me because I didn't want to suggest something to you to do that I hadn't already tried out for myself. Now, I can't guarantee that will always be the case, because if I do this again in December, it'll... it might be completely different how I do it. It might be all Christmas themed or holiday themed. So who knows? But I just want to thank you for coming on this journey with me. It's been so fun. So without further ado, let's enter into our last Spreading Kindness edition, Smiling at Everyone. As I reflect back on this month, I loved visiting and revisiting ideas of my own personal self-care, and I'm wondering what prompts spoke to you this month. What did you notice about yourself and your needs as we explored just a few of the myriad self-care options that are out there? I'd love to hear from you. So again, feel free to email me at littlecabinknitsak@gmail.com. or find me on the interwebs as Anders Mill Knits. For me, my personal favorites were the Spreading Kindness days that we had each week. I noticed that when I spread feelings of joy and encouragement, that feeling comes back to me twofold. I've actually just been experiencing that this weekend, and I feel extremely enriched by it. I feel invigorated and refreshed, and I'm secretly overjoyed that I uplifted someone else with something that could be as easy as a smile. So today, for our last edition of Spreading Kindness series, it's all about smiles. Spreading kindness doesn't have to be a major undertaking. We don't need to volunteer our time, though that is wonderful, or spend hours making up gift baskets or writing letters to others expressing our gratitude towards them. Though, now that I think about it, I wish I'd made that last one about spreading kindness topic as well. You know, the writing letters of gratitude. Although I did talk about it a few days ago. Anyway, sorry, I digress. But the reason why I like that idea is, who doesn't love receiving actual mail, like letters in the mail, especially when it's a heartfelt letter of love and appreciation? Okay, so I digress. For today, let's focus on smiling at others, including ourselves, when we look in the mirror. This simple act spreads joy faster than a lightning rod. Let's talk about the psychology of a smile. Smiles and laughs are simple things. Or are they? While a seemingly insignificant part of most days, our smiles and laughs have more implications than we realize. Studies show that there are numerous benefits of both of smiling, including that it boosts our mental and physical health, it leads to better social lives, and even increases lifespans. A warm smile is the universal language of kindness. William Arthur Ward. So, if you're going to smile at someone, here are 10 things that you might notice. 1, it makes you more approachable. 2, your body will release good hormones into your brain and your body. 3, you have better relationships. 4, you're more productive at work. 5, you relieve stress. 6, smiling elevates our moods. 7, smiling is contagious. 8, smiling boosts your immune system. 9, smiling lowers your blood pressure. And 10, smiling helps you stay positive. So what does it mean when we smile at others? What does it do for them? When you make eye contact and smile at someone, you are showing that they matter, which gives them a boost of happiness. The best part about it is that they will then go on and smile at other people, spreading the love throughout the day. Human beings smile for a number of reasons. You may smile when you spot your long-lost bestie in a baggage claim, when you engage your coworkers during a presentation, or when you imagine your ex-lawyer tripping on the way into the courthouse. People are fascinated by smiles, all of them, from Mona Lisa to the Grinch. We're captivated by those both smiles that are both genuine and fake. This enigmatic facial expression has been the subject of hundreds of studies. But did you know that there are 10 different smiles? For me personally, I believe that there are many more than just 10. However, researchers documented 10 types of smiles and their meanings. So the following is an excerpt from Healthline.com article that I found all about the psychology of smiles, and it lists out the 10 different smiles that are out there. And not all of them are great, but we're going to go over all 10. Number 1, reward smiles. Many smiles arise from a positive feeling, contentment, approval, or even happiness in the midst of sorrow. Researchers describe this as a reward smile because we use them to motivate ourselves and other people. Reward smiles involve a lot of sensory stimuli. Muscles in the mouth and the cheeks are both activated, as are the muscles in the eye and the brow areas. More positive input from the senses increases the good feelings and leads to better reinforcement of the behavior. For example, when a baby unexpectedly smiles at their mother, it triggers the dopamine reward centers of the mother's brain. The mother is then rewarded for the baby's apparent happiness. So that's a reward smile. Smile type number 2, affiliative smiles. People also use smiles to reassure others, to be polite, and to communicate trustworthiness, belonging, and good intentions. Smiles like these have been characterized as affiliation smiles because they function as social connectors. A gentle smile is often perceived as a sign of compassion, for example. These smiles, these affiliation smiles, involve the upward pull of the lips And according to researchers, they often trigger dimpling in the cheeks, and everyone loves a good dimple. Also according to research, affiliation smiles can also include a lip presser, where the lips remain closed during the smile, but this thus keeping the teeth hidden. This might be a subtle reversal of the primitive tooth-bearing aggression signal. Number 3, dominance smiles. You know, people sometimes smile to show their superiority, like to communicate contempt or derision, or to make others feel less powerful, if you will. You might even call this a sneer. The mechanics of a dominant smile are often different than reward or affiliative smiles or affiliation smiles. Dominant smiles are more likely to be asymmetrical, like one side of the mouth rises and the other side remains in place or even pulls downward. So in addition to these movements, dominant smiles also can include a lip curl and the raising of an eyebrow to expose more of the white part of the eye, both of which are powerful signals of disgust and anger. Studies show that dominant smiles actually work. Like, researchers tested the saliva of people on the receiving end of a dominant smile, and they found higher levels of cortisol, like that's the stress hormone, for upwards of 30 minutes after that negative encounter. And the study also found that the sneer raised heart rates among the participants. So this kind of smile is a nonverbal threat, and the body responds accordingly. Number 4, the lying smile. My friends, if you're looking for a foolproof lie detector, the face, it's just not going to be it. According to research, even the most experienced law enforcement officer only spotted liars about half the time. Nevertheless, there have been studies that revealed smile patterns among people who were actively trying to deceive others in high-stakes situations. So among the deceivers, I'm not going to get this word right, but the zygomaticus major muscle, the one that pulls your lips into a smile, is repeatedly fired off. So it's not the same with those who show genuine grief or genuine emotion. So the quicker the smile, the more often the smile, and the more often the smile is exaggerated, that could be an indicator that it is a lying smile. Number 5, the wistful smile. So the sheer dexterity of human emotion is just simply astonishing. We're able to smile in the midst of the most emotional and physical pain imaginable. Experts at the National Institutes of Health think that the ability to smile and laugh during the grieving process protects you while you recover. It's very interesting because scientists think that we might smile during physical pain to actually protect ourselves. Researchers monitored the facial expressions of people who were undergoing painful procedures, and they found that they smiled more when loved ones were present than when they were alone. And they also concluded that people were using smiles to reassure others. Number 6, the polite smile. Okay, so you dispense a polite smile surprisingly often, like when you first meet a person, when you're about to deliver bad news, and when you're concealing a response that you believe someone else just, they won't like it, right? The list of social situations requiring a pleasant smile or expression, it's a long one, right? Polite smiles help us maintain a kind of discreet distance between people, whereas warm smiles, sparked by genuine feeling, tend to draw us closer to others. That closeness isn't always appropriate. Number 7, the flirtatious smile. Dating, right? psychology, and even dental websites often offer advice on how to use your smile to flirt with someone. Can you believe it? Dental websites offer advice. Some of the tips that they offer are kind of subtle, like keep your lips together and lift an eyebrow. And some, they offer something called a coy smile for the flirtatious smile. Smile when tipping your head down slightly. And some suggestions are just kind of comical. Smile with a little whipped cream or coffee froth on your lips. I just thought that was ridiculous. While there's a lot of cultural influence on these tips and comparatively little evidence to back up their effectiveness, there is proof that smiling makes you more attractive. One study found that attractiveness is heavily influenced by smiling, and that a happy, intense smile can, and I'm quoting here, compensate for relative unattractiveness. Okay, thank you for that. Number 8, the embarrassed smile. So there's a quote from a 1995 study that found that a smile provoked by embarrassment is often accompanied by a downward tilt of the head and a shifting of the gaze to the left. There is actually an entire range of experts all about facial expressions in communication, and that is a form of psychology. So anyway, I digress. If you're embarrassed, you probably touch your face more often. So you might tilt your head down a little and shift the gaze to the left, and you might touch your face a little more often as well. In a 2009 study on embarrassed smiles, it did confirm these head movements that were studied back in 1995. However, it didn't confirm that people who are embarrassed usually smile with their mouths closed. They did discover in 2009 that smiles tend to not last as long as amused or polite smiles. So embarrassed smiles are usually brief, apparently. Number 9, the Pan Am smile. You may have heard of this one. I had heard of this one, and actually I'd heard of many of these, but that's beside the point. But the Pan Am smile, I think, is a rather interesting one. This smile gets its name from the Pan Am flight attendants who were required to keep smiling even when customers and circumstances made them want to throw peanut packets across the cabin. This smile is widely regarded as forced and fake. The Pan Am smile might have appeared kind of extreme. Now, studies show that when people are posing, they use extra effort to yank on their zygomatic muscle, major muscle, the one that we talked about earlier with the lying smile, right? As a result, the corners of the mouth are extra high and more of the teeth are exposed. So if a poised smile is asymmetrical, the left side of the mouth will be higher than the right side. So I don't know about you, you might be confused, but don't worry, we have just one more smile to go over, and that is the Duchenne smile. This one is the gold standard. The Duchenne smile is also known as the smile of genuine enjoyment. It is the one that involves the mouth, the cheeks, and the eyes simultaneously. It's the one where your whole face seems to light up suddenly. Authentic Duchenne smiles make you seem trustworthy, authentic, and friendly. And they've been linked to longer life and healthier relationships. So in a 2009 study, researchers looked at the intensity of smiles in college yearbooks photos and found that women who had Duchenne smiles in their photos were more likely to be happily married much later in life. So in the end, my friends, we're getting down to the nuts and bolts of it all. Smiles vary. Whether they express genuine bursts of feeling or they're intentionally created to suit a specific purpose, smiles serve important functions in our human interactions. They may reward behavior, they may inspire social bonding, or exert dominance and subservience. And they can be used to deceive, to flirt, to maintain social norms, to signal embarrassment, to cope with pain, and to express rushes of excitement. In all their ambiguity and variety, smiles are one of the most powerful means we have of communicating who we are and what we intend in social situations. So, in the end, for spreading kindness today, my friends, for our last day of our self-care challenge, let's try and use the Duchenne smile, and let's spread some genuine joy and happiness. Use the reward smile as well. And, you know, you can even use the coy or flirtatious smile. Let's strive to abstain from using the more negative smiles that are out there, such as the lying smile or the Pan Am smile. Remember, we want to spread genuine joy and kindness today. And a smile, like I said at the beginning, is like a lightning rod that sparks joy in others. Thank you for joining me today, my friends, for our last segment of Spreading Kindness and our last day of the self-care challenge. After this, we will go back to our regularly scheduled programming. I just released this last week a episode, so probably next week will be the first week in July. Maybe I'll make it a July 4th episode. Who knows? I also have some exciting things in the works, so I may surprise you with one more episode about some things that I have been working on in the background that I'm really excited about, and I hope that you will be too as well. But in the meantime, remember, my friends, to always knit what you love and love what you knit. Ta-ta for now.